There you go. Congress is not in session. They'll be back in on Tuesday of next week. And Congressman Bill Flores joins us from in the district. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you on WTAW.
Thanks. Let's talk for just a minute about we'll get into the presidential race in a minute, but let's talk about any action that Congress took since you and I spoke last Wednesday.
We had three actions that the House took after we last spoke. The first one is that we passed a bill to dial back some of the regulations that were hurting small business startups that were having trouble accessing the capital markets due to the way the SEC was interpreting some of their rules. That was called the HALOS Act. You know, I don't know how they come up with these crazy names. Helping angels lead our startups. HALOS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes they spend more time on the title than they do on the text.
Yeah.
But in this case, this was a good bill. The second one, on Thursday, we passed what's called a Congressional Review Act resolution to veto a Department of Labor rule related to the definition of fiduciary, which will hurt our folks that are trying to save an IRA for retirement. And if you're a person that's got, say, like $200,000 in your IRA, it's hard to get financial advice because there's not a good way for the advisor to make money.
Mm-hmm.
These rules have gotten so tight that there will be no advice available for folks that fit sort of in that savings class, and as a result, they'll wind up with a situation where they're probably able to save less or have poor investment outcomes. So we vetoed that. Hopefully the Senate will do the same thing, although I suspect the president would veto the veto, and then these onerous rules would go into effect. On Friday, we renewed the D.C. scholarship program. The D.C. scholarship program is something that Congress started a few years ago to give kids in D.C. a chance to escape one of the worst school systems in the country, and gives them essentially vouchers or scholarships to go to the school of their choice. And it lets parents have an opportunity to get their kids out of those schools and to go to better schools. It's actually a really good program. I'd like to see it all over the country myself.
Well, let's go back to that for the folks who have the small 401ks or retirement programs, because there are going to be more and more people like that. We find out people have not planned for their future, and
correct.
I mean, it seems like more than just removing rules. What kind of situation can you have for that person who's only got $250,000 in their retirement account? How can they really end up getting some expertise, or is this a situation where the folks who have the money are the ones who are getting the expert advice?
Well, when the rules go into effect the way the Department of Labor has proposed them, the only people that will get the better advice for their investment portfolios are going to be the savers that have larger balances.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem is that first of all, let me say this: we need to protect all investors. We need to make sure that they're getting sound investment advice and that they're not being taken advantage of by a broker or any kind of a financial advisor, and we need to make sure that there are good safeguards in place. That said, we need to make sure that they're not done in such an overreaching manner that nobody wants to touch the smaller saver because the costs are too high and the liabilities are too high. And so in this particular case, the Department of Labor, in order to try to protect these small savers, has come up with a rule set that's so overreaching and all-encompassing that no broker, let's say if you had your IRA with a broker, they could give you that advice today and help you, and it's at a very, very modest cost. But under the new rules, the liabilities would be so high and the costs would be so high, they would say, no, we can't service your account at all. You'll have to go somewhere else. And the outcomes are obviously going to be bad for those folks because they'll have either no income advice or poor income advice. And you could have a situation where they could actually be taken advantage of by people that don't care about the law at all.
Sure.
So that's what we're trying to do, is protect sort of that middle ground where you have a good set of protections. At the same time, you still allow the free market to work.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from in the district. Okay, so let's dive into this presidential thing, and let's start first with John Boehner. What the heck was going on in California?
I don't know what he was doing and why he said what he did. You know, I think there was some frustration in the House earlier over the let's say 2012, 2013, Ted Cruz had had trouble getting traction in the Senate just because of the nature of the way he operated. And I'm not being critical of Ted because, you know, I think he's a good senator, and I'm glad he represents the great state of Texas. But when he couldn't get traction in the Senate for the things he wanted to do over there, he came over and started messing with operations in the House. And a lot of folks in the House took offense to that. And I think that, you know, the person that had the most difficulty trying to continue to lead the House when Ted was getting involved was John Boehner, who is, you know, sitting in the number one chair as the Speaker. And so I think Boehner just let his feelings come out a little more vocally than he should.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish he hadn't said it. You know, I think that, I like Ted Cruz. I think he's a good guy. I'm glad that he's our senator. But I think that there was some frustration in the House from some folks because, you know, he came over and messed with what we were doing. And actually, the House was is a well-functioning body. If you look at what's happened over the last 5.5 years, we've been the only functioning group in Washington that's been a firewall to slow down the president's agenda.
So now the Senator Cruz steps out last night, suspends his campaign. That makes Donald Trump the presumptive nominee for president of the Republican Party. So what does the party do with this man who has only had about 12 elected officials endorse him prior to yesterday?
Well, I guess you have to swallow hard and say you're going to vote for him. Here's the reason.
Are you saying that? That's what you're going to do? You're going to support the candidate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
And you can look at it from a positive standpoint or a negative standpoint or just self-preservation standpoint. For self-preservation, when I say self-preservation, preservation of the country, if Hillary Clinton's elected, she's going to appoint two or three folks to the Supreme Court. Her nominees would kill this country as we know it. And so for self-preservation or the preservation of the union, of the republic, you have to put somebody in office that's going to appoint the types of nominees that we would want, not the types of nominees that Hillary Clinton would want. So if for no other reason, that is an awesome reason to support Donald Trump. Whether you like it or not, or whether you like him or not, we can't allow the Supreme Court to move to the left. And so I'll be supporting Donald Trump. You know, it's not one of those words where you can get your pom-poms out and jump up and down. But I've got to support him because I just cannot allow the Supreme Court to be moved to the left.
About 2 months ago, he asked to meet with elected officials in Washington, D.C., and he couldn't. Nobody showed up, basically.
He gave like 24 hours notice. And he did it on a recess day where we're already booked in our districts, and so, you know, I mean, it does show that he doesn't have a good sensitivity to, you know, if you want to meet with members of Congress, wait till they're in session and then give them a few days notice, and you'll have that meeting. A lot of us would have met with him just to try to get to know him, but he didn't, you know, he didn't really set it up very well to do that.
What would your advice be to him right now to try to bring together the Republican Party?
Well, my advice to him would be to reach out to everybody that was defeated and those that voted for those that have been defeated through the primary process and tell them that I need your vote and tell them substantively what you're going to do to use his tagline, make America great again. That's what I would do. And then I'd also figure out what is the plan that I'm going to use to beat Hillary Clinton? And he hasn't laid that out very well. He just says she'll be a sorry president. I agree with him. She'll be a sorry president. But we need to know tangibly what's your strategy to beat him. The other thing he's got to do is he's got to make peace with the folks that fund presidential campaigns. It's going to take $1 billion. Race from Republicans and conservatives to beat Hillary, and he has not really reached out to the folks that provide that resource base to do that, and he needs to do it pretty quickly.
We'll look forward to that, that's for sure. Well,
yep.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. As always, we thank you for the time today.
You bet. Great talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue prayer for our country, our military men and women, our first responders. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Harper and Maggie Cunningham, who are the nominees from the Brazos Valley for the Jefferson Award, and they're going to be coming to D.C. in June. We look forward to seeing them up there. Great young girls.
They are amazing. I would agree with you completely. Thanks so much.